Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. And I am so excited to be with you today. We are going to jump into a topic that if you are a woman between the ages of 40 and let's do a cutoff at like 75. If you are in between 40 and 75, we're going to go ahead and let you be a part of the midlife crew, okay? And today we are going to talk about and really just do like an overview of major life transitions that happen to most women between the ages of 40 to 65, 75, and so forth. And some people call that season midlife. Call it what you want. These are major life transitions that tend to happen in a woman's life during this time. But before I get into that, I want to invite you to a special workshop that I am offering next week in the Healthy Body Book Club. And it is called If Life Were, or no. Even know what it's called, right? It is called If Midlife Were a Box of Chocolates, the workshop, right? If midlife were a box of chocolates, we're doing a workshop around that topic. I know Valentine's Day was like so last week, but chocolate is timeless. And so is the wisdom that we gain during our midlife season. So today, let's go ahead and jump into the midlife transitions and how to navigate them. Today truly is an overview. Every single one of these topics will get a deep dive, not only in next week's workshop in the Healthy Body Book Club, but it will also, each topic will also be getting a deep dive right here in the podcast over the next few months. So if something here perks your ears up and you go, yes, girl, come on, I want more of that, let me know. Because the podcast, the work that I do in the Healthy Body Book Club, all comes from you, comes from the women in my community who give me feedback and say, I want to hear more about this. I need some support here. And that is exactly where these topics have come from today. So let's go ahead and let's start with maybe the most obvious. How about that? We'll start with number one. We'll start with menopause. Oh my goodness, menopause. It is an actual deal. And when you're younger, like when you're in your 20s, 30s, even early 40s, and you hear women talking about it, literally, I don't know about you, but like I just thought it wouldn't happen to me or it wouldn't be like that or whatever. And it's kind of an interesting phenomenon because in other cultures, menopause just kind of happens. Like it's just a gentle passage in a woman's life. Excuse me. But in the American culture where I live, it actually is kind of like a big deal. And there's almost like an expectation on the part of both women and men that maybe you're going to kind of feel like you're not yourself. going to maybe feel like your body will mutiny on you. And the next thing you know, while your body is going through a natural, gentle transition of going from being in childbearing season into a different season of life where you won't be bearing children, but hey, during this season, we might get to be grandparents. Like literally just yesterday, my daughter announced on social media that she is going to have a baby this coming summer. Holy cow, I have been sitting on this secret for months. And I am excited to get into the new season of grandparenthood. And it comes for me after the season of menopause. So menopause, we can look at it as, oh my gosh, I'm going to kind of lose my mind. I'm going to feel crazy. You can literally feel like an alien has inhabited your body, but it hasn't. It's still just you while your hormones are changing and adjusting to a new season. You are made for menopause, just like your body's made for childbirth. This is not a medical emergency. This is something that God designed you for from the beginning, from the very beginning. He planted this in your body to be able to go through this season. And I'm just going to share something with you that I've worked with. I don't even know how many women over the years, just encouraging them to naturally support their hormones. Now, this last episode, the last episode was super geeky on gut health, and today is really more of an overview, but I will just share in general, when a woman's hormones are funky, a couple things that we like to look at from a natural perspective is how are her adrenal glands? How is she managing stress in her life? What is she doing to create stress in her body? And by that, I might be thinking about things like pushing yourself slightly beyond, like it's okay to push yourself to reach goals and so forth. But if you have adrenal stress, if you have adrenal fatigue, you may literally not have the reserves in your body to push all the time without just being shut down. And so during our menopause years, there can be a reckoning in the hormone department if we have not properly cared for and supported ourselves over the years leading up to this season, there can be a reckoning. So supporting our adrenal glands, making sure that our liver is functioning optimally. There are different ways to go about this, but just in general, those are a couple of things to be thinking about to support yourself during the season of menopause. Oh my goodness. One of the things no one talks about with the menopause is aches and pains, like in your joints. Like you have no history of joint pain. And then one day you're going up the stairs and you think, what in the world has happened to my knees? That can be a result of elevated cortisol while your body is adjusting to the hormone changes that are going on. And so when you start experiencing joint pain, just know that doesn't necessarily mean that joint is like gone forever. It can be a part of the natural progression of what is going on in your body as you transition from childbearing to not childbearing, which really can be so powerful and sweet. All right, I'm going to go ahead and move on because this kind of dovetails, menopause kind of dovetails into this next topic. And it has to do with your marriage. With your marriage, one of the things that I hear women say so often is that they almost like wake up one day and they look at their husband that they've been married to 25, 30, 35 years. And it's just like, who is that? And he may be looking at you the same way. It's easy as we get into the hurry, flurry, scurry of life to take care of absolutely everyone else and maybe not take care of ourselves. And if we're not intentional, we may not be taking care of our marriages. Okay, so let me just speak to this real quick. I was in a wonderful marriage. Like I had a wonderful marriage for almost 29 years before my husband passed away. We had an exceptional marriage, okay? Like it really was exceptional. Then about 2.5 years later, I married again. that marriage was different. It had its sweet moments. I'm not ever going to discredit that, okay? It had its sweet moments, but there were just some things in there that were not going to be sustainable, and it was devastating. If you have been through a divorce, you know what I'm talking about. I don't hate that person I was married to. I will always love him dearly, like dearly. And we were not able, for different reasons, for that marriage to be successful. So yeah, within the last year, I've navigated a divorce. And I want to say, just because I've been through that doesn't mean like I'm a big advocate for divorce. However, I have a different perspective about divorce than I did before. And if there's one thing I know and I believe and I just am so committed to now more than ever before, is that, excuse me, a marriage takes work, and it takes two people both working for it. And so it is not uncommon to wake up one day and go, wait a second, who is that man sleeping next to me? And at some point along the way, you might have even become roommates. Now, roommates are what happens when you lose the physical intimacy in your marriage because either life gets busy, there can be health conditions that contribute to that dwindling. It can be literally just from not making that part of your marriage a priority. As a woman goes through menopause, there are changes in her body that may change or affect her ability to experience pleasure during intimacy. And so there are lots of different things that can go along with this. But at the end of the day, your marriage is sacred. Oh my goodness. Your husband is a treasure in your life. And so it is easy to just go along and go through life together and look over one day and go, who in the world is that man? I don't even know him anymore. He may not feel like he even knows you anymore. And so there are some things that you can do to reignite that spark. But here's what happens. Oh my gosh, it feels uncomfortable. Why does it feel uncomfortable? Because we haven't done things that way before. And so truly, during the season of midlife, it is an opportunity. And I mean this, and I believe this, and I have experienced this. It is an opportunity to experience your husband and your marriage in a different way. If you're willing to be a little bit uncomfortable, if you're willing to go ahead and put him back on your planner every week, when's your weekly date with your husband? Man, that is one of the greatest gifts you can give your marriage, is to just spend some time every single week, make him a priority in your life. Speak words of blessing into him. Last night, I was on the weekly call with my incubator clients. I have something called the Peace, Health, and Joy Incubator, which is a 12-month, like, holistic, intensive program for women, Christian women in leadership, who really want to dial in, deal with the stuff from their past. They can have healing today to show up for their future differently. And so we were on our incubator call last night, and it came up about the power of our words to bless our husbands, and how the husbands of the women in that group, they love that their wives are in that program. They're like, yes, honey, keep with that program, because it has made a difference in their marriages. One of the women was sharing last night that her marriage has literally been saved as a result of this program. That is really powerful. That is really powerful. Honestly and candidly, to me, that is a powerful testament to God's goodness. Because here, during the season where I was navigating the loss of my marriage, it is so powerful that God can still work through that and bring beautiful healing in a different marriage. And I just think, wow, that is awesome. That is so beautiful. So just recognize there could be changes in your marriage. And you know what I'm talking about, girl. There can be changes in your marriage that All you need is just a little tiny course correct, some simple and strategic practical things you can do in your marriage to bring some spark back into it. And so I will be talking more about that next week in the Healthy Body Book Club. All right. Another thing that changes when we go through midlife. Now, if you're listening to this and you're not in midlife and you're like, I just want a little peek behind the curtains of what's coming, do not be discouraged. What you can know that you know that you know is that God is going to be with you through every bit of this transition and change. So the part I'm getting ready to talk about right now, if you are not yet in this season, if your children are still at home, you may be going, I can't even imagine. Like, I cannot even imagine what she's saying. But one of the things that happens in midlife is that your kids actually grow up and they leave home. And you just cannot even believe that that would ever happen with the deal they have at your place, right? But that's what we've raised them for. That's what we work toward. And then one day it actually happens. When my daughter got married and when she got married, that was so wonderful, so exciting. Like, it was such an exciting, my gosh, you know how delightful it is to watch your daughter get married. But 3-4 days later, what did not feel quite so delightful, I was still extremely happy for her and her husband as they were beginning their new life together. But 4 days later, I stood at the airport in Northwest Arkansas, and I watched my daughter and her new husband of 4 days ride up the escalator to go home to Alaska. 4,000 miles away. My only daughter got married. I was so happy for her. I'm still so happy for her. And moved to Alaska 4 days later. It wasn't a surprise. Obviously, we knew that that was coming. But honestly, I did not ever think that girl would leave our home. Her dad and I would talk of it often. We're like, oh no, she will never leave us. Which we did not actually want her to stay home forever, but we joked about it for half of ever, because when kids are home and they're safe and it's fun and your home is a haven and you enjoy spending time together, it is easy to cherish and treasure that season. In fact, if you're a younger mama listening to this, I'm going to be another one of those people saying, you know, it actually doesn't stay this way forever. Go ahead and just really savor it. And it is harder to savor that season when you're in it. But later on, you look back and you just go, oh, thank you, Lord, for the sweetness that we had together. So maybe your kids grow up and they move away. Maybe they move far, far away. Maybe they live like 10 minutes away. But that's an adjustment. Whether they've gotten married and moved away, whether they've gone to college and they're gone for a little bit and they come back and they go away again. It's hard on you. It's hard on the family dog. It's hard. It's just hard. And there is sweetness in it. Getting to watch your children adult, like getting to see them figure stuff out. It's interesting and rewarding that as soon as they start living their lives on their own, suddenly you become wiser and they reach out to you and they ask you questions. Things like, how do you boil an egg? Okay. Google it. You know, they ask you all kinds of interesting questions and it changes your dynamic and it can be powerful. But also, sadly, I acknowledge this. If this is you, I see you. I have sat with you. I know you. Sometimes when our children leave home, they make different decisions than we would make for them or that we wish they would make. And it can feel like it shreds your heart. It can shred your heart. It can feel like it's shredding your heart to see your child suffer, to suffer the consequences of their decisions. It can feel devastating to feel the changes in the relationship that either you had or you thought that you had. And again, I will just say, not to like dismiss that, like that is a thing. And it is genuinely hard and stressful when it just seems like maybe they've just really moved on and maybe they don't see you as much as a part of their future as you thought you would be. There's a saying called bless and release. and it does not apply here. Okay. Bless and release does not apply here for most people. When it is our children and they have moved on, when it is possible to honor their decisions, to honor them, even if their decisions don't seem honorable, to pray for them, golly, and I mean feisty prayers, not just, oh God, if you're in a good mood, if you will bless my child, that would be great. I'm talking feisty prayers. Like if they are involved in a lifestyle or something that's genuinely harmful for them, to pray. Like my favorite prayer is, God, just give them a distaste for this thing. Like whatever the thing is, if it is distasteful for them, for God, ask him to make that thing distasteful to them. Like that no longer has an allure, that it no longer attracts them, that they will actually even feel like grossed out a little bit about the thing that is harming them, harming their hearts, harming God's heart, harming your heart, if you will. It's okay to pray those feisty prayers and say, oh God, man, do something big, like do something big in the life of this child that I have raised. They're not a child anymore. They're grownups. And as grownups, it is hard to watch your own child experience the consequences of their own behavior. And also it is 1,000% like healthy to let them do that. It's okay for our children to fail. It's okay for us to fail. I think it was, let me think. Oh my goodness gracious. His name is escaping me. John Maxwell. There we go. I think it was John Maxwell who said that every day when his children would come home from school, when they were sitting around the dinner table at night, he would ask them, instead of, what great thing did you do today? Did you get all A's on all your tests and your papers? And do all your friends love you? Instead of all those kinds of questions, he would say, hey, how did you fail today? How did you fail today? And there was a culture in their home to embrace failure. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I love it. I love it because through failure, that is like, failure is one of the greatest learning experiences of our lives. It is also miserable. It's completely miserable. And we can beat ourselves up because we didn't make the right choice or someone else didn't make the right choice. But with our children, embracing failure is one of the greatest gifts we can give them. And if that wasn't a part of their culture growing up, it's okay to let it be a part of the culture now. And you love them and you pray for them. And here it comes. And you ask yourself this question. I talked about this last week in the Healthy Body Book Club. I've talked about it with several clients over the last few weeks. That's why I shared it there. That's why I'm talking about it here. Can you trust God to love your children more than you do? Two questions, and they're not the same. They're only different by one word. Can you trust God to love your children more than you do? And then will you trust God to love your child more than you do? And it is hard to see your child hurt, to see your child suffering, to struggle. Maybe they're in and out of jail. Maybe they're in a relationship that is destructive to their soul. Maybe they are involved in some kind of addiction that is just destroying their physical body. And it is hard to watch, but this does not change your love for them. This does not change God's love for them. God is with you. I just pray that this will fall on the ears that need to hear it. God is with you. He is with you. He is somehow, some way, he is making a way for you to take the next step. And to take the next step, and he will not leave you, and he will not leave your child. He will not. I have seen it. I have seen it enough to have the faith to see and know it is possible. He's in a good mood. He wants to do it. Continue to pray and to trust. And will you trust him to love your child even more than you do? He's the one who can do the stuff for them, stuff that we could never do as parents, even from our best places of interest and care and concern. There are just a lot of things we cannot ever do for our children that God alone can do. I believe He wants to do. And I just pray that that encourages you. All right. So while I'm in the Debbie Downer moment, another common situation that happens during our midlife season is our parents may become ill. All right. This is hard. Okay. I was not even into midlife when my dad became ill at the age of 50 and actually passed away at the age of 52. I was 32 when he died. And so it was like, oh my goodness gracious, that was sad. That was devastating. And then my mom passed away, in August of 23. So it has only been like 6 months. 6 months tomorrow, actually. And so going through an illness with a parent is different than going through an illness yourself, with your child, with your mate. Watching this person who gave you life, this person, like when my dad was sick, it was like watching Superman be sick. My dad could do anything. And he was such a spunk and so full of life and love and joy. And it was as if his body betrayed him over the course of 2 years until he left his body and encountered, like, he was just in the presence of the Lord. And it was a moment. And we all knew that's what's happening right here. But navigating an illness with your parent can be something you experience in midlife. And what's crazy is you're trying to support them, but you still have your kids. You still got yourself. You're trying to keep everybody's heads above water. And I may sound almost like a broken record, but I do want to continue to share this. Even in those times, sitting in those doctor's appointments, hearing reports you do not want to hear, you do not want to give it agreement in your life, even if it may be the fact, it may or may not be the truth. There's a difference. There is a difference. And so it is refining. This was another thing that came up in our incubator group last night. It is refining to suffer. Okay, let me be clear. I hate to suffer. I'll bet you hate to suffer. Like, I have yet to meet the person I have met a couple people who are like, oh yes, I am suffering for the Lord. And it's like, all right, well, okay, there you go. If it's a calling, then there it is. But for the rest of us average bears, suffering is miserable. We do not like it. We do not want it. We will do whatever we can do to get away from it. And yet suffering refines us. It's miserable, but God will use it in the person who's suffering and in the persons who love them. There is purpose. There is healing. There is redemption in suffering, and nobody wants to do it. And yet we all get to do it by virtue of being alive, by virtue of loving. And so as you suffer, what is it? Suffer well. Right? You will suffer. We all will. And we can choose to suffer well. Maybe we don't suffer so beautifully well in the moment, right? But as time passes and the situation gets behind us, it's an opportunity, even an invitation to go back there and to say, wait a second, what did God like accomplish during that difficult season? Walking through an illness with a parent is a different kind of challenge. You watch this person who gave you life diminish physically, but often you may even notice their soul almost gets stirred up and bigger. It is beautiful and hard all at the same time. So suffer well. If you don't suffer well in the moment, pray that you can go back and glean the treasures from that suffering. I find journaling to be really, really helpful for those kinds of things. Just to be able to go back and revisit what needs to be revisited. All right. Moving on here, another common midlife transition. This one's a big one. And this one actually begins in between our ears. I'm going to call it what if, but you could also call it something called anticipatory grief. That is where in our minds, we start going, maybe you're listening to this. I'm just going to cut myself off there. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm in my 30s and I'm not there yet. But what, that could happen one day, and then you can start feeling grief today for something that either may never happen or may not happen for a long, long time. And we think we're doing ourselves a service, we're doing ourselves a favor by thinking ahead and going ahead and feeling a few things as if that's maybe going to take the edge off when the thing actually happens. It doesn't work that way, and I wish I could tell you otherwise. There's the land of what if. What if my husband gets sick? What if my husband dies? What if my mom gets sick? What if my mom dies? What if my dad dies? What if my child dies? Okay, I cannot speak to the child thing. I pray that that is never a part of my story. But I have lived through losing a husband, my mom, my dad, a marriage. And I can tell you, nothing prepares you for that. Nothing prepares you for that. And there is a special grace that comes on you as you're navigating the thing. This is one of those, if you know, you know things. If you've been through a significant loss, it could be, the loss could also be the job, the work that you have loved. You've done this work forever, and maybe your company's downsizing, and maybe you make a lot more money than someone 25 years younger than you would. And maybe you've had to lose that job. Maybe you've had to downsize your home. Like, all kinds of different things can come in this season, and it can feel like a lot of loss. And it can feel like a lot of loss happening in a short period of time. And you can think, holy cow, how in the world am I going to get through this? And you will get through it. It's actually super helpful. And I don't say this any kind of silliness or whatever. I'm actually real serious when I say this, but literally breathe. Like, of course you're going to be breathing, but like, if you will invite yourself to stop, to pause, to take a big breath in through your nose, to hold it for just a few seconds and to slowly let it out of your mouth. It sounds so basic, but what that does is it signals to your body, wait a second, I'm still in control. I do still have agency. I do still have control and influence over some part of my life, which is actually my actual life. And when we decide to stop or pause, take a big breath, slowly exhale, that is literally disrupting the stress responses that are naturally happening in your body. It is a simple, simple way to disrupt that. It is a tool you can use anywhere, whether there are other people around, whether you are all by yourself. You can disrupt your nervous system that may be trying to spiral on you simply by pausing, by taking in breath, which also oxygenates your cells, which literally helps your brain function better. It tells your body you are still in charge of you. And that can be really empowering in certain situations where it feels like you have no control, no influence, no impact in any situation. But we cannot anticipate, but we cannot, like, this is not like a savings account where you go, well, if I just go ahead and deposit a whole bunch of grief in advance, I will not have to deal with that. I'll have it there whenever I, you know, whenever the time comes. It does not work that way. We cannot anticipate our way out of or through anything like that. We simply can trust in the moment. If it happens to you, the unthinkable. Man, just don't waste. This is something I say so often. Try real hard to not waste a millimoment of this moment with your loved one, trying to wonder, what's it going to feel like if they're gone? Walking through losing my husband, there is no way to prepare for that. There's no way to prepare for that. Even if you kind of go ahead and try to let yourself, you know, think through some possibilities in the moment, nothing is as you ever could have imagined that it would possibly be. And that's okay. That's okay. I literally just don't waste time on it. I just trust. And when we're able to trust, just as much as will we trust God that He loves our loved ones, our children, our husbands, our friends, that He loves them more than we do. He loves you more than you can imagine, and He will carry you through. He will. Can you trust Him to do that? Will you trust Him to do that? Will you just enjoy the people who are in your life today for today? Just let yourself enjoy today, because as it turns out, this is all we have. Like, this is all that is 100% for sure right now. Nothing that we can anticipate. We don't, none of that stuff may even happen ever at all, or it may happen completely differently than we imagine. The stuff behind us, we also cannot change. And so this was another thing. I'm going to mention this again. Last night was a particularly dear session in the Peace, Health, and Joy incubator. But one of the women said, you know, couple of things. She didn't realize how big a deal it was that her words could build up her husband. She didn't realize how big a deal it was that the enemy could actually use her spoken words against her. And she didn't realize that if she was unwilling to go back into her past and contend for her own healing, she did not realize how important that is for herself, for her marriage, for her life. And I have found that to be true myself. That is why I run the incubator program. I did not ever want to go back into parts of my past. And I'm going to guess you have parts of your past like that too. It's like, can I just leave that behind me? And you can, but if there's pain there, then there's still some room for healing. And so if that's something that's been on your mind, like, gosh, I got this stuff in my past and it's really terrorizing me. Like, it's messing with me. I know I got to do something with it. I don't know what to do with it. Then I'm inviting you again to join me in the Healthy Body Book Club next week for this workshop where we're going to deep dive into everything I've talked about so far, plus trauma. Didn't even talk about the trauma word today, but it came up in every little topic, didn't it? Just kind of has a way of weaving through all the surprises, the challenges of life can be downright traumatic. And if we're willing to go back there just long enough to let the Holy Spirit minister healing, He will. He will. And if that has been on your mind, I invite you to the, gosh, what did I call it? If midlife's a box of chocolates, you know, the workshop next week. And we're just going to deep dive into each one of these topics and share some very practical encouragement and share about the incubator program, where we do deep dive in a very safe container, in a very safe, supportive community of other women who are like, you know what? I got to go back there. I got to take care of it. I've got to let the Holy Spirit, I want to let the Holy Spirit minister to my heart, encourage me, redeem the things in the past so that I can show up in the future in a totally different way than what I have before. And I believe He wants to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for today. I feel like I've mentioned that workshop a few times. If for whatever reason you're watching this way in the future, just check back in. I offer these workshops from time to time, so you have not completely missed out forever. But this is for now. And so I hope that this will encourage you. I will look forward to being with you again next week right here on Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Have a wonderful week. This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast.
and two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.